Item four, help the learner assume responsibility for learning. What do you do when you come to a class cold and there isn't much going on, where somebody just says, by body language, I defy you to teach me. I am going to slump in this chair, and I'm going to sit with my head down, and I'm going to look at my shoes, and when I look at you, I'm going to scowl. It may not always be that bad, but I've had some of those classes. We've probably all been in situations where it seemed like people had not come prepared to learn. How do we help people do that? Sister Beck.
I think sometimes I work on crafting my questions, but I think when you're talking about learners, this seems to be what we're saying, is the questions, the more questions that we can get from them about something, the more they're engaged in the learning.
Okay.
And the thought that came to mind was Joseph Smith, where he read a verse of Scripture in James, and it created questions in his mind. And he said, how am I going to know? And will I ever know? And if I don't figure this out, I'll never know. And he was in a learner mode.
Absolutely.
When he asked God.
Yeah.
But that to me is a challenge as a teacher, is not so much the questions I'm asking, but what is happening that's helping other people to ask questions so that the Holy Ghost can teach them.
One of my favorite little books in the church was written by a professorial longtime friend of mine at BYU, Dennis Rasmussen, called The Lord's Question. And it's a sample of how the Lord always teaches that way, beginning with a question like, as early as, Adam, where art thou? He knows exactly where Adam is. He needs to know whether Adam knows where Adam is. That's why you ask a question, Adam, where art thou? And so on, wist ye not that I be about my Father's business? The Savior's life was built around putting the question to people so that the questioner, the ask back. And many of the revelations, I don't know how many, I haven't counted, but many, many of the revelations of the Doctrine and Covenants in our modern church period came in response to a question that the prophet or the brethren took to the Lord. Just to reaffirm your point, Sister Beck, absolutely. Sister Matsumori.
You know, I've been struggling just a little bit with this topic in relationship to children. Even back when President Packer said he wanted to learn, but to be honest with you, I think there are some primary age children who are there. When you describe that person who's there, I think it's difficult. It's an advanced concept to think that the learner is going to assume responsibility for learning, especially for little children. And so, how does a primary teacher do that?
What do you do if that's what you face, and you're still the teacher? You've still got to perform. By the way, it's number four, because we do realize it is a little more mature and a little more advanced concept, but one we probably don't talk about enough, and therefore this very good discussion. Let's talk about Sister Matsumori's question. A child, a seminary a teacher, the 14-year-old teacher or Maya maid. Sometimes they're not very interested, or at least they don't act like they are. They're probably more interested than they want you to know, but they don't act like they're interested. How do we deal with that? How do you bring something to happen there? Brother Wada.
Learning doesn't happen right in the classroom sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it happens outside. And when I was learning about the church, and something missionary taught me, a week later I thought about it and said, this is what it is. So we don't need to assume that the exact learning, you know, that need to happen.
Will be at that moment. Good point. Great point. That the learning is going. And again, the work of the Spirit. I'm confident that was the Spirit of the Lord working on you for a week or however many weeks. That's the classic case of an investigator in the church anytime. We want that Spirit working on them for hours and days and whatever after the missionaries have gone or before they're back for their next discussion. Sister Wada, please.
Well, since Sister Matsumori raised a question about primary children, and sometimes children have so many, many questions, and I have prepared so many, you know, examples or experiments or visual aids, but I can't utilize all of them. I'm sometimes busy answering questions.
Right.
And is it all right?
Right. Sure, it's all right.
You know, but I tried to simplify the thing, and it just, at least one topic I can focus on and just be able to teach them, at least, you know, they feel
good,
comfortable.
You said that better than I said it at the start, and that is, don't try to do too much. With a primary child, well, maybe with any child, maybe with any of us, if we can get an idea, one principle, something sterling and significant that Brother Wada feels a week later, if we get one thing across, that's probably worth any good classroom experience. So be reassured. Don't be reluctant about that. Brother Kerr?
It seems to me that what she's just said, and it's opened my eyes, is what more exciting environment in a classroom is there than the fact that the children or the adults are asking questions.
Somebody's responding. We're going somewhere. What if you meet a situation where the student is not yet participating and the burden for a while is on you? Okay, please, Brother Miller.
Should we forge ahead with the lesson then, or should we stop and do some of the things that invite the Spirit? Even though we've had an opening song, a prayer, a scriptural thought, and it's still not there, instead of moving ahead with the lesson, do we stop and say, okay, how can we get the Spirit here?
Want to respond to that, Brother Snow?
I think it's a long-term process. It doesn't happen the first class. I think sometimes you have to do your best, and then there's going to be a moment when it really works, when the Spirit's there and everyone's contributing to the class, and then you stop and say, do you see what's happening right now? Do you see the difference?
How do we know if we've had the Spirit? And that may be in its own way. The question Brother Miller wants to know is, with this unresponsive class in front of me, how do I know how I'm doing? And somehow at the heart of that, for them and for you, is how do you feel? Can you feel that the Lord's with you, the Lord loves you, you've done the best you can do, He loves them? If we can just have some feelings of the gospel, if we just love each other, I suppose that's a place to begin. And if those kids are unresponsive, maybe you can't teach them yet, but you can love them. And if you love them today, maybe you can teach them tomorrow. But I think that is totally within our power. None of that is dependent upon them. We can love them from start to finish, and miracles will happen, the kind of miracles that you're talking about. If I, the teacher, want questions from you, the student, I may have to prime the pump a little, as we've tried to do here today. I may try to pose a question that will then take on a life of its own, and all I have to do is direct traffic in order to get you to the students to participate. Now, may I pause and make an editorial comment to the worldwide audience? A teacher could know that Brother Merrill talked on that subject in conference and say, good, I'll go to the resource library or the ward meeting house library or the resource center or whatever you're calling it in your remote part of the world. We'll go to the library resource materials, and I'll get that clip. And I can play it, and I can show it with Elder Merrill. But now this is the point I want to make. Let me stress that if you do that, great, and we ought to do it from time to time, we're going to do it here, that audiovisual aids are just that. They are aids. They are not a substitute for a lesson. Now, use them in the way that you would use spice in cooking. As someone who cannot cook anything, I'm not qualified to comment. But use it like a spice, to flavor, to heighten, to accentuate, to enrich. A map, or a painting, or a video clip, or a key, a handout on the board, these can often make the difference between a good lesson and a great lesson. But no one wants a meal of spices only, okay? So, my plea to one and all, please do not overdo visual aids. They are not a substitute for the teacher, they're not a substitute for the course material, and they are not a substitute for the Spirit of the Lord. Okay. Now, use them when you need them. Sister Wada, one last comment.
Well, there is a child who was really, really destructive one time in the primary class. And I try to imagine that child wearing a white and being an angel, well, being a spirit of the Lord. Bottom line is we're all children of God, and they're not intelligent, even though the shape is small. I came here to this earth to learn something, and there's a reason for them to
Wonderful.
Be there.
Thank you.
It really helps.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. That's a sweet comment. Warren?
What I'm hearing is that sometimes the teacher is the learner, and the learner is the teacher.
Almost always. Almost always. The teacher will be getting more than the class. That's one of the joys of teaching.